Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what is happening in San Diego? And welcome on in, Wednesday edition of Gwen and Chris on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Mr. Scraby, Matt Scraby, all together in our Odyssey Palace Studios today. We got a big day here on the station because, first of all, number one, it's us for 4 hours, four full hours on the program today.
Believe it.
Yeah. Tony's settling in over there. But after we're done, not only do you get the Scraby Chronicles for an hour, but beyond that, it's the debut of Sam Levitt's Inside San Diego Baseball.
Right.
That is tonight at 7 o'clock. So guess what? You don't have to flip the channel for at least 6 hours. What is it old Scott Hansen says on Sunday mornings?
Settle in for six hours of commercial-free football starts now.
Yeah, I guess we're not commercial free. I can't quite make that claim.
That's definitely not.
I can't. You got to pay your salary, Tony. Come on. I mean, that's important. So we got to have those.
I love how Chris has joined in on the money bags jokes over there.
None of us are money bags, believe me. But Tony's the easiest. Tony's the easiest target for that. That's all.
There you go.
I could say AJ Preller got it done, and as a result, Mike Shildt is a little more money bags, as he gets a 2-year contract extension. And we have reported that Kevin Acey had reported that yesterday. And as it turned out, Kevin Acey was right on the money with that.
Any terms released?
I did not see that. The one thing I did see in Kevin's story this morning, which kind of raised my eyebrows a tad, was that according to Kevin's sources, who I trust implicitly, as long as, like, Scraby's not a source or something like that that I don't know about.
Don't worry.
I don't think Kevin would go with that.
I don't either.
Well, I mean, let's not.
I'm just saying.
I don't think he would go with that either.
He would need three or four.
Yeah, he'd need something a little more.
I get that.
A little more reliable than you.
I get that. Well,
a lot more reliable than you.
All right.
But he said in his story today that, according to his sources, Mike Shildt was in the bottom third of pay for managers last year.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, I guess it does, since he was in a prove-it type of year, you know, coming in and replacing Bob Melvin and, you know, kind of already being part of the organization. And I think the Padres kind of held the hammer there.
They did.
Where they could say, hey, we're giving you this opportunity, right? I mean, come in. And I'm sure Mike Shildt said, hey, I'll come in. I'll show you what I can do. And he showed him. And now they give him a 2-year extension. And I imagine, without knowing any numbers,
he's not in the bottom,
I don't believe he's in the bottom third anymore. Nor should he be.
No, he absolutely
nor should
shouldn't
he be.
He's the lead guy for a team that, by most accounts, even despite losing in a division series, was top four in terms of best teams out there.
Top two, I think, in a lot of people's minds. Yeah. So anyway, the one thing I would say, if you were Mike Shildt, would you have hazarded the risk that comes along with waiting another 13 days until they announce the National League Manager of the Year award.
Oh, yeah, I see that.
You see what I'm saying? Could he have waited till, I believe it's the Manager of the Year is November 19th. That's 13 days from now when they will announce that. You know, if he ended up winning it, he could probably get a little more money, but maybe he put that in this contract somewhere along the line.
I'm sure he has a crafty agent. I'm sure that Mike and his representative were very aware of, of waiting
to the 19th. Let's put it this way. If I was aware of it, they were aware of it.
So that kind of maybe speaks to who Mike Shield is. It's not something on a high priority list for him to get.
It also speaks to the fact that, as we discussed yesterday, I'm going to be mad, but don't be shocked if the three finalists don't include Mike Shildt, is ridiculous, but could very well be the case. All right, so we will hear from Mike Shildt on the program today at a Zoom press conference a couple of hours ago. So you'll get to hear what he had to say. We'll also hear from A.J. Preller, who was part of that press conference earlier today. So that's coming up in this hour, so you don't have to wait too long for it. Russ Dorsey from Yahoo Sports is going to join us before that. He's at the general manager meetings. And, of course, we know – I say Yahoo Sports. He's on MLB Network, too.
He's everywhere.
He's pretty much everywhere, Russ Dorsey. I don't want to say that we've turned him into a star, but when he was first on this show, he didn't, he didn't have the same credentials that he has now. I'm going to ask him about that when he comes
up. Yeah, he's moving on up. He was actually – we were going to record with him, but he was in a actual conversation with a GM. So rest assured, when he comes on at 220, I will be asking him what GM and what that conversation was about.
Yes. Russ Dorsey, he's becoming, and he's deservedly, is becoming one of the big guys covering baseball out there because he does an excellent job. He'll be on the show today. I mentioned A.J. Preller and Mike Shildt. The Zoom press conference from earlier today, you'll get to hear all of that or most of what they had to say. So that's all coming up in the 2 o'clock hour. 3 o'clock hour, head into the Daily Gambit. We have a sports court coming up today, which means Tony
and I
will
wigs.
Be wearing the wigs today. And I do have a contact out there who is working on robes for us. So this segment is kind of running away with itself
growing
a little bit. Yeah,
I got a robe at home you can have.
No, I don't want that robe.
I don't want your bath robe.
I don't have a robe.
I can't imagine how stinky that might
be. I've never... That's gross, Chris.
Stinky's not the word that I was thinking of.
Okay.
I don't want to have anything to do
with
your robe, buddy.
I've never worn a robe in my life, like getting out of a shower. Have you guys done the robe
thing? Can I also add to
that? I don't like it.
Me neither.
I hate it.
Because you put it on, and then you have the wet
robe.
A robe is one of the sickest items of clothing out there.
Sickest.
I'm so against robes.
It sounds like a good idea until you actually go through with it.
First of all, you Scraby's right. If you put it on before you get totally dried off, then it's sticky and messy. But secondly, you fold it over, and I don't know about you guys, but as soon as you tie the thing, it becomes untied. And then
I think that's a you problem.
An everybody problem. I tie it, and it becomes untied immediately. Everything you don't want seen is seen.
It's like when you're in the hospital and you go in. I don't know if you guys have surgery.
The backwards thing.
It's like that, but the front way.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So, I don't mind the back hanging out. If you really want to check out the back, have at it, Doc.
Just next time you expose yourself to the neighbor, just be like, hey, it comes undone on its own.
It does come undone on its own. I'm never comfortable in a robe. I never have been comfortable in a robe. And it never will be. The only time I can ever even really remember wearing one for any length of time was back when I traveled with the Gulls hockey. They used to make us actually wear a suit and tie on plane trips. I was back in a different age.
That was kind of customary in all sports
for
a while.
It was a different age. So I had the suit and tie on and got to, I think it was Boise, Idaho, on a trip. And they lost my luggage. And the luggage wasn't going to be delivered till much later that night. We checked into the hotel and... As much as I hate a robe, I'm not a fan of sitting around a hotel room in my suit and tie either. So I discarded that for the robe, and I was basically just uncomfortable the whole night until my luggage arrived.
Did you keep your dress socks on?
With the robe? That's a good look, isn't it? Nothing like a nice crisp white robe and black socks.
Now, yeah. which one of the guys on TV wears the robe? Is it Don or Mud? They talk about this.
I think it might be Mud.
Mud is a big robe guy.
He tries on all the hotel robes.
As
which
a matter of fact,
disgusting thing.
As a matter of fact,
robe.
We often get flicks of him in the robe.
You get videos.
No, not a video, just a picture.
Oh.
Of him in a robe.
Wait, who's in the robe?
Mudcat.
Mudcat. Sounds like a robe guy.
He's definitely a robe guy.
Yeah.
He enjoys all the experiences. Yes. Of a hotel.
Like he probably opens up the sewing kit that they leave for him over there, you know, and works on that thing for
a few hours.
That's why
I love that guy so much.
Yeah. You might as well. I mean, you get in the room, you might as well use everything in there.
All right, Chris.
But I cannot do the robe. None of us apparently can.
One choice. You have to wear one robe. You wear my robe, or you wear a random hotel robe.
Random hotel robe.
100%.
But having said 100%. That, I see where you're coming from. Do they come in at the end of your stay and get the robe off the hanger and wash it before they put
that
it back?
Is,
there is probably no chance that happens now that I think about it.
Here is the tough part about hotel robes.
Yeah.
They all live and die by the housekeeping eye test. And what I mean by that is it look disturbed or not.
Because
if it doesn't look disturbed, they don't touch it.
Yeah.
And so I say to you, for those who do use ropes, please don't put the robe back. Just leave it on the floor.
Yeah,
leave it on the floor.
Yeah, yeah.
Leave it
no,
on
that's
the bed
a must. That's
so
a must,
that
if
they
you hang
know
it back up,
it's not
you hang
getting
it
touched.
Back up, the next person could be the 93rd straight person to wear that robe without it being washed.
Well, now do you want to wear my robe instead?
Still want to go with
Still
the hotel robe.
Still want to go with the hotel robe on the off chance that they washed it. Because I know darn well yours won't be washed.
Hey, I wash my clothes. Come on.
Clothes are not robes.
Pig pen or something.
I just heard how you talked about robes. So
I
know.
Robes.
I know that you're not washing.
Growing
yours.
Up, my mom was a big robe person. Like,
I'm excited that we found a common ground on something on this show. We've been searching for 7 years,
we
finally found a common ground. We all hate robes. Out
Nick
there.
Says not that Mud just flips through the Book of Mormon with the robe on.
He might be doing that.
They
as
do
well.
Provide that in certain hotels.
Yes.
I'm just curious, is anybody out there not named Hugh Hefner a fan of robes? Throw us something on the chat.
I should say I'm not a fan of naked robeness, right? Like, if I got, you know, some clothes on underneath,
okay.
Like some boxers, cool.
But then that seems to...
It does defeat the purpose of the robe in the first place. Which is
place.
Why I don't use a robe.
No robes.
But I'm just saying. I went
to college with a guy.
He was a robe guy?
Oh, yes.
And
was
it becoming untied, like I said, half the time?
No, it wasn't untied.
But even if it doesn't come untied, it still splits apart.
Did he come from, like, an affluent background?
No,
or, like,
the
robes were normal?
He just enjoyed the robe because he gets cold, he said, when he gets out of the shower. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, when you sit down on the couch...
Right,
on
it's...
A
yeah,
chair,
yeah,
yes,
exactly.
There is stuff exposed... And he thought it was
said.
Hilarious.
You got to get the old manager cross-leg look in order to sit on a couch.
I think women
point,
can
right?
use robes because they're used to wearing dresses
sometimes
tie.
Yeah.
But guys in general are not used to that. And so you're right. When we sit down with our knees spread open in a robe.
It gives a view to everyone.
It's not the best look.
And then my friend just laughs on the couch because he found it hilarious that...
Well,
he once again showed us.
I can see in at the college age of wanting to turn that up a little bit after you figured out your roommate was a little uncomfortable with you plotting down, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, it's people need to maybe share their body less.
I got to tell you, this was not planned before
the
show. No,
this was not.
Talk about ropes
organic.
For this long, but it just kind of worked into it. All right.
Organic.
We're underway. We're underway.
Shut up, Scraby.
Everybody,
I was trying to really give it some oomph there.
Organic.
I hate you, Scravy.
We need to go to break. Okay.
Crazy day already. Gwen and Chris, coming up, Russ Dorsey. We'll get into some sports stuff, actually, when we come back. The latest on the general manager meetings from MLB Network's Russ Dorsey coming up.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't have a ton of time, so let's get right to it. Russ Dorsey, Yahoo Sports, joins us. He's in San Antonio at the GM meetings, and he actually had a call scheduled for earlier, but he was literally in a conversation with the GM at the time, so we had to postpone it. But Russ is here now. Russ, how are you, my friend?
My guy, what's going on? How we feeling?
We are fantastic. I got to ask, right? You show up in San Antonio. It's November 5th, 6th. And I would imagine that the GMs feel like it's a little too early to see guys like you. But here you guys are. They're getting ready to have all these conversations. And here you come with your recorder. I mean, are they, is everybody in baseball mode in terms of wheeling and dealing at this point?
Well, brother, I will say this. Maybe I think it's a little too early to see them.
I know that's right.
You know. I mean, I was out in California the entire month of October. Only got a couple of days at home before getting back in action and getting everybody geared up for the off season. But no, I think a lot of GMs, they, as much as they like the time off and time away, if their teams didn't advance in the postseason, they want to make sure they get their teams better for this upcoming year. So it's a fun time. I think you already feel the buzz of the off season and what free agency potentially holds and maybe some trades that are on the horizon. But yeah, I think a lot of the executives, even agents who are here, are excited for what the next 8 to 12 weeks have in store.
Russ Dorsey, also catch him on the MLB Network. That's where I caught him yesterday, holding court. And Russ, let's just run to the Padres because I know you don't have as much time. You know, A.J. Preller, honestly, and I don't think this is just a local view, did a hell of a job last offseason. I mean, everything he did worked, and he was able to, despite lowering payroll, you know, put together a 93-win team, the second most in franchise history. This year, I mean, who knows whether they're going to be able to increase payroll, but he has a lot of contracts that increase on their own. He also has a Joe Musgrove injury to deal with, and he has, you know, a couple of key free agents, at least in Jerickson Profar and Kyle Higashioka, and Ha-Seong Kim has already opted out. So where would you start if you were A.J. Preller?
Well, look, I agree with you that I think A.J. and I think a lot of people around baseball would agree that it might be the best job A.J.'s ever done in terms of putting together a roster with the specific set of circumstances that they had, whether it was, you know, Joe Musgrove's injury late in the year, you know, being able to bring back Jerickson Profar, putting him at the top of that lineup, getting Fernando Tatis Jr. healthy, what they were able to do with their bullpen at the trade deadline. You know, that was a team that a lot of people were afraid of going into October.
Yeah.
And I believed, talking to you guys, whoever won that series in the NLDS between the Dodgers and the Padres was going to end up winning World Series. That did end up happening as the Dodgers defeated the Yankees. But I think when I look at what the Padres, where the Padres should start, I think it is going to be that pitching again, because you have so many of your core position players locked up for the foreseeable future. You can now start to, you know, really focus in on that pitching. And you look at Tanner Scott and what he was able to do in the back end of that bullpen. I think for me, if I'm looking at, you know, an area where you say, okay, this is how you can ensure that you once again have the best bullpen in baseball, I think Tanner Scott, even though he has pitched so well, he is going to have a lot of suitors out there on the market. That's a guy that you likely want to bring back if it's possible. And then you can never have too much starting pitching. As you guys know, you know, you're going to need more than five guys to get through an entire season and to get through the postseason, as, you know, the Dodgers showed. So I think pitching is where, to me, I would start if I was the San Diego Padres.
Russ Dorsey joins us here, Yahoo Sports. And Russ, you kind of hit on it as you started to answer the first question. But it does feel like, you know, typically GM meetings can go one of two ways. There could be like absolutely nothing happening, or it could be like it feels like it is so far this year, where there's some buzz, there's already some wheeling and dealing. Is that the sense that you have gotten since you've been down that way in San Antonio?
Yeah, I think the first couple of days of the offseason in the GM meetings, it's kind of feeling, everybody's feeling each other out. Teams are feeling where other teams are in terms of the trade market. Teams are feeling executives, agencies out in terms of the players that are on the free agent market. Agencies are doing the same thing with teams. What teams have spots on their roster available? What teams might be looking for? You have a lot of agencies that have multiple players on the market. So you have, if you have an agent like a Scott Boras that has a ton of clients, right, a ton of the top clients on the market, whether it's Corbin Burns or Juan Soto or Pete Alonso, all available, you might be talking to one team about five different players. So I think it's a feeling out of sorts. And for people that aren't, you know, you're more aware of the winter meetings, the GM meetings kind of sets the table for the offseason. Mm. It's where teams say, okay, these are our needs. You meet with your other members of your front office. You meet with other teams. You meet with agencies. And you say, okay, where could a fit be made, right? Like, where could we improve our roster? And you go from there. And then I would say the next couple of weeks before we get to Dallas to the winter meetings, then you're going to start seeing some of these deals come to fruition. We saw Michael Wacha already agree to a deal earlier in the week. So I think you'll start to see a little bit more action as, you know, we leave here tomorrow and head towards the winter meetings.
Russ, what do you think's going to end up happening with Juan Soto, and how much is how much for him? I mean, you know, whether it's the Dodgers, Yankees, Mets, those seem to be the only three that legitimately would seem to have a shot at it. Is he going to break the bank here, or how much is he going to break the bank by?
Yeah, like, I think that's been most of the talk that I've had with people here in San Antonio has been the Juan Soto sweepstakes. I personally don't believe it gets to Shohei Ohtani levels, just because different player, different situation. But I do believe it'll be past $500 million. If I had to put a number on it, I would say somewhere between $550 and $575 million, and that would likely be stretched out over 13 or 14 years. That's a lot of money for a guy who showed that he can perform in the biggest of moments for you like he did with the Yankees. So I don't know what that team is. I think the vibe talking to people this week has been that it will likely be a head-to-head matchup between the Yankees and the New York Mets. I think the Yankees showed him, like, hey, this can all be yours, in terms of like Lion King, where Mufasa says anything the light touches is yours, Simba. That's what Hal Steinbrenner and Brian Cashman could say to Juan Soto. But I think at the same time, the Mets actually have a real opportunity here, right? They showed a lot of Major League Baseball what they were going to be able to do going to the NLCS, Francisco Lindor, you know, being the leader of that club. And they're a team that's still on the rise. And the one trump card that they have that other teams don't have is they can pay him more than any other team in baseball, because Steve Cohen is the richest owner in all of Major League Baseball. So that's a real threat. And I think the Yankees know that. And it is not going to be a walk in the park to make sure that Juan Soto returns to the Bronx.
Steve Cohen is MLB's Steve Ballmer's on our side. I mean, that's how the kind of money he's dealing with. Last one from me, Russ. And, you know, there's been a lot of conversations in regards to Juan Soto and where he possibly ends up. You mentioned that number. AAV is kind of the thing that guys will turn to when they can't get max dollars.
Yeah.
We know he's represented by Scott Boras.
Yeah.
Scott Boras, at least today, seemed pretty confident. There's a lot of people who've written off Scott Boras after last year's, I would say, disappointing free agency. Some of those guys back at it again. Where do you think, in terms of Scott Boras, how do you think his winter goes? I mean, because a lot of people think he's washed now because he had a bad year last year. I'm telling you guys, I tend to see Scott Boras rise back up to the occasion quite often.
Yeah, I think last offseason was more about the players on the market, not necessarily about Scott Boras. I think Scott, as we have all talked about over the last year, maybe made some missteps.
Yeah.
But I also think this year he has, you could say, 7 of the top 12, 13 free agents that are available, right? When you can have the best position player, best overall free agent in Juan Soto available, but also having the best starting pitcher available,
yeah,
in Corbin Burns, right? That's a pretty good spot to be in, right?
Yeah.
And people can call you washed all you want, but if I have a position player that's going to get $560 million and a starting pitcher that will likely get over $300 million, I'm feeling pretty good, and I'm not really worried about what everybody else is saying about me being washed. If that's washed, a lot of people want to be washed.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. I mean, he consistently gets the best players in the game, therefore he will always be relevant. Russ, we know you got to go, man. I know you got that 3 o'clock GM conference that's about to happen. Appreciate your time, man, and we'll do it again later.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Russ.
Russ Dorsey, Yahoo Sports. A little baseball fix there. We haven't had a lot of baseball news, but Mike Schilt yesterday, GM meetings popping right now.
Maybe next year they just start the GM meetings during Game 6 of the World Series. I mean, he's right. It was like no break at all. The poor guy barely got to go home and wash his robe.
I wish you guys would have asked him, because he travels a lot. I wish you guys. I didn't think about it until right the second. But wouldn't it be better just to do these GM meetings while everything's fresh on your mind, and then you have a little break before the winter meetings, and then you have a big break?
You mean like it's done right now?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, that's why they do it.
I mean, I get why they do it, but for the last two teams, and most
right.
of the media members that are covering that,
yeah.
they didn't get very much
They
downtime.
Get no break, but he's right. I mean, the other teams that have been out of it, like the Blue Jays, haven't played for 2.5
right.
months, basically.
They're itching
so they're
to get
ready
back
to
out
roll.
There.
So, yeah.
All right. Great interview there with Russ Dorsey. Let's get to break when we come back. We can talk a little bit about the A.J. Preller, Mike Schilt Zoom conference that we got so used to during COVID. More Gwen and Chris on the other side.
Hi, welcome back to the program. 2:39 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Matt Scraby. Thanks to Russell Dorsey. Outstanding. Some baseball in 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Beat ups.
It's football. Head to your local Buffalo Wild Wings. Try their new maple chipotle sauce. Rich maple sweetness and a mild smoky chipotle heat for a bit of a kick. Check out the new Cajun sauce. Rich blend of spicy and tangy pepper sauce. Stop by your San Diego B-dubs. Or order now for takeout and delivery. Buffalo
yes.
Wild Wings, go. I like Buffalo Wild Wings. I do. I enjoy it.
Me
there,
too.
The food's great. I wish they had a different name.
You don't like Buffalo Wild
I don't
Wings.
Like Buffalo. Yeah, being a Miami fan. Anything linked to Buffalo throws
so
me off.
So San Diego Wild Wings would work perfectly.
Miami Wild Wings.
Miami Wild
national,
Wings.
It's a national chain.
Yeah, no, we get it.
I get it.
We get it.
I get it.
We want it to be our
and
way.
And I understand that the wings themselves are not Buffalo meat,
no, there's
but they were invented in Buffalo. That is why they're called Buffalo Wild Wings.
You can
Buffalo, you know, you get Buffalo wings. They're not Buffalo.
You can be like the
it's
Menendez
strange.
Brothers and try to start something called Mr. Buffalo, which was like Buffalo wings.
Got it. Hey, gotcha.
You didn't know that?
The Melendez brothers.
Melendez brothers, yeah. They've been in the news a lot lately.
I know they've been there a lot. But
they wanted to start a buffalo wing restaurant called Mr. Buffalo.
While they've been in prison?
No, this was before they were tried and all that. This was in the... Okay, never mind. I shouldn't have brought it up.
I would say you shouldn't have brought it up.
I thought it was a good thing. We're talking about buffalo wings.
Down the rabbit hole we go.
Accurate. All right. Big Zoom conference today. Mike Shildt announced as the extension, 2 years, manager of the Padres. If you missed it, here is some of it. A.J. Preller started the proceedings with this opening statement.
I mean, for me with Mike, you know, honestly, like dating back about 10 years ago, he was always a guy that was on our radar as a real up and comer in the game. Somebody that you know, really had a tremendous reputation as a winner, a teacher of the game. Obviously, did great things in St. Louis. And a couple of years ago, we had a conversation about him being in this position. And even though he wasn't quite ready at that point in time to kind of take the lead chair. He was in the organization for 2 years, just, you know, jack of all trades, being around the big league club, and most importantly, getting to know our players, our staff, and our system. You know, this year, seeing him in the major league chair as the manager, obviously a tremendous year for the big league team, a very good year for the organization. You know, and just a really strong year for Mike in that chair as a manager. It was clear that, you know, he's somebody that I want to partner with for a long time. And that's what this extension is a sign of. Just a job really well done, production. He took a talented group and you know, got them together really from day one. Brought a competitive spirit to our team. Brought a lot of joy, energy, and happiness to the city of San Diego. And it was a lot of fun to be a part of it with him here this year.
All right, AJ, and on the Mike Shildt introduction. Then, as it turned out, Mike Shildt hopped up there, and he had...
Wait, real quick,
yes,
before you get
yes,
to that.
Yes, yes, yes.
I would like... sometimes I would love for AJ to speak like he really speaks.
We've never heard it.
The cadence...
None of us have ever heard that,
Tony. It's like he has a press conference cadence.
Yes, he does.
You know, that he just you know, it's almost like he can substitute out different subjects, and you can get the same kind of monotone
thing. You should tell him this next time. You should be like, hey.
I am going to tell him that. So, you know, you should talk like you talk on the basketball court.
How does he talk?
I think that would be entertaining.
How does he talk on the basketball court? I'm going to take you.
I'm going to take you.
Well, you know what I mean. He's going to take him to the hoop.
He's a New Yorker on the hooper.
On the hoop court.
Yeah. Okay. He's a New Yorker.
All right. Yeah, it would be interesting to hear AJ in another form.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, here's Mike Shildt's opening statement today at the big presser. I think.
I'm trying,
after you gave us a double thumbs up,
okay, here we go.
So, extremely blessed, grateful, appreciative of the confidence that ownership and AJ has shown, and not only me being in the organization now going on 4 years, but getting the opportunity last year to manage the club, and now, of course, this year to now get the extension. And you know, like the word that AJ used, the partnering word with AJ in the front office, you know, my respect for AJ is only increased, and my admiration for how he works and how he goes about his operations and how he assembles not only our big league club, but has put this organization in a very, very good footing over the last several years has been very impressive. How he didn't get the Executive of the Year award, I still am miffed. And that's with all due respect to the people that did win it. He's really a guy that I've enjoyed getting to know. And like he said, it's not always smooth sailing, but we know we're working off the same script. We have the same vision, and that's to win a world championship here in San Diego and be a first-class organization in the industry. And I'm looking forward to working with AJ moving forward on continuing what has already been a start of the best era in Padre baseball. He alluded to it. You know, this club's been in the organization. This organization's been in the playoffs 2022. now 24. I think we're, I don't think I know we're set up for success moving forward, and I expect to work closely with him to the next several years to continue to solidify this being a very impressive run in Padre history.
Very good. Mike Shildt there opening it up.
Do you guys think
miffed that AJ did not win the Executive of the Year award? I don't disagree with you, Mike. And I want to caution you voters out there, do not get Mike Shildt miffed at you.
No.
Because we see how that can turn out sometimes.
That can go go sideways.
That can go cattywampus.
Do you guys think at all that, I mean, the reason, one of the main reasons he got the job is because he was with the organization for so much time before?
Not if what AJ Preller said was true. He said he had been on the radar for 10 years.
Okay,
prior to that. So, you know, to be able to bring him in, and I'm sure when they brought him in, it wasn't to necessarily be grooming him for a manager, but I shouldn't say grooming because he'd already been a manager, but he wasn't a manager in waiting, but as things kind of transpired on their own, he became, because if you remember, after they moved on from, or after Bob Melvin moved on, it was pretty extensive search, or at least how long it took between the time Bob Melvin decided to take the Giants job before the Padres actually, tied Mike Shildt down. They took their time. So I don't know that it was necessarily something they had planned, but it tell you what, to have a manager that's been in the postseason and each of the years he's been a manager fall into your lap, basically, it's a good thing to have, good problem to have.
Yeah, we've had some pretty good managers here of late. Mike Shildt is among those. Here's Shildt on his vision moving forward.
You know, we got done with the season, and I know everybody in the organization was a little bit of, in a little bit of a rightful stupor about, you know, how it ended. And then you look up and realize that, you know, a lot of good things took place and started the process working towards next year, as AJ mentioned. And, you know, AJ and ownership came to me about making sure that I felt valued and appreciated, and we were going to do this together moving forward for a longer period of time that was secured. And, you know, obviously I was very, very happy about that. You know, relative to your question about what that vision looks like, I'm sure AJ can chime in as well, but, you know, it's we're going to start meetings, you know, tomorrow with our pitching group, Thursday, Friday with our big league staff and player development and AAA group to talk about what we just got through experiencing, what we want to capture from it, and then how we're going to move it forward individually and collectively with our pitching. We'll do our defense and base running, infield, outfield, base running and catching over that Saturday and Sunday. And then we'll do our hitting group on Monday and Tuesday. So the vision is really just a continual process of what we've been able to do and some of the process that we've been able to put in place. The one thing that I was able to share with the staff right after the last game we played, and I said, you know, the good news is we covered a lot of ground and we've got a lot of process that we feel good about. We partner with our players, most importantly, that are part of the process and how we operate and how we compete and how we win. But the really good news is that we're just getting started.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing you talked about, Tony, I think, at the beginning, was that Mike Shildt, you know, under AJ, but they wanted to establish the identity of this team.
Yeah.
You can't establish the identity of your team and your franchise and your organization in a week or a month, even in 2 months or maybe even in 6 months. It takes all of that time and everything from day one. But I think now they hit the ground running next year, and that, I think, gives them a big advantage, I hope, going forward. Because, I mean, really, again, this season did not start great. They were 500 for the first 3 months, but then they finished fabulous. Hopefully next year they don't have to mess around at 500 for too long.
That's where the patience part comes in. And I highlight the season of 2022 and the season of 2024. It didn't feel like after the 22 season ended, even though it ended spectacularly. I mean, it got to an NLCS. it didn't feel like there was a foundation laid. You know, it was like I think Joe Musgrove said it best. It kind of got there and it was like, all right, well, we're here. Let's see how far we can go. Whereas last year, even though that first part was, I'm sure, excruciating for some, as they went up two games, went down two games, were even for all of the first half, you could see there being a foundation laid. And then when the second half happened, I think it became a lot clearer of what was happening in the first half that made that second half so special.
All right. Yeah, I agree. Mike Schilt, free agency talk here.
Actually, I adjusted this video. It's going to be, he defers to AJ Preller, and so we're going to go with AJ on this one.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, perfect.
I can't get the mouse to move. I literally cannot get the mouse to move because it's
perfect
on the desk. This is ridiculous.
Profar and Kim, they've been a big part of this thing. Jerkson at different points in time in the last few years, and obviously he had the great year this year. So, you know, he's somebody we're definitely interested in talking to, and you know, he's a real part of what we're doing. And you know, I've already extended out and just started those conversations. But you know, again, he's somebody that he's earned the right to be a free agent. So we'll kind of see where that takes us. Same thing with Ha-Sung. You know, I think Ha-Sung, you know. And I think, you know, from his standpoint, the injury, you know, as well, that, you know, he'll come back from that, but that's all part of the calculus. And, you know, kind of that's what this week is for here and at the GM meeting, is we've been preparing for, you know, for this. And this is kind of the start of the off season. So, you know, ultimately decided not to put the qualifying offer. That's a $20+ million number on a 1-year deal. Just feel like, you know, that wasn't quite the direction we wanted to go to on a 1-year situation, but it doesn't close the door on either player. I think, you know, now we get into the free agent period, and you know, we're spending the week trying to see what our options are, what things look like, getting a lot of information, you know, from a roster standpoint. And you know, Jerickson and Ha-Sung are going to be two guys that are going to be part of our conversations all off season.
It's interesting to hear him talk about Profar and Kim in the same breath there, because we don't talk about those two in the same breath. And maybe it's just the media,
Profar,
just the
Kim.
Thought. No, yeah, right. The media, yeah. Or the thought process, because the media and the thought process around here, as I read it, is that Profar is somebody they're going to want to bring back if they can, and Ha-Sung Kim, somebody they're not really interested in bringing back unless, you know, he falls into their lap.
I don't know that the Padres.
I don't know if it's true, but that's kind of the feeling I get.
Yeah, I think the feeling should be more Padres want to bring Profar back, and the Padres would like to bring Ha-Sung Kim back, but Ha-Sung has to want to come back. I mean, he is the one that declined his mutual option and elected to be a free agent. So,
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.